Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. And we are privileged again today to have the president of the institution with us, Dr. Matt Olson. Matt, welcome aboard today.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
We are right in the middle of our series, Getting Your Life in Shape for 2007. And we have been talking together about covenants of a father. In fact, we spent our time in the last broadcast observing that there are five covenants in Psalm 101 that David made at a point in his life when he was reevaluating or beginning major ministry for the Lord as King of Israel. And we parked on the first covenant, the covenant I will worship. And, Doc, I wonder if you could introduce us to the second covenant today.
Yes. And I think where we call it covenants of father, that's how I've named it, but rightly, covenants of leaders. And that really is anybody who is an influencer. But in the context of David being king, he was a leader. But to me, it's perfect parallels for
Our lives.
Our lives.
Sure.
And particularly as men. Verse 2, verse 1, we said, I will worship with a balanced perspective. And then verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come to me? Mm-hmm. I will walk where?
Within mine house.
Within my house with a perfect heart. Now, where is the most difficult place in the world to live a consistent Christian life?
I think anybody would have to say at home.
At home. Why?
Because everybody sees you for what you want them to see when you're away from home, but at home they see for what you really are.
Yeah, so the real me is not me in the studio here. It's not me speaking at a couples conference. The real me is what I am when I get home and the shades are pulled, the doors are locked, and the real me comes to the surface.
And like a lot of it, too, is that you can only hold the props up so long. I mean, you want to protect an image. You come home, and you probably let your guard down, and you feel like, well, they'll forgive me. They understand, and, you know, it's my family. And so I think sometimes you take advantage of it, and they get really the brunt of your flesh more than anyone.
See, outside my home, my reputation is established. Inside my home, my character is revealed. Mm-hmm. Because we are so pride-driven, we can't afford to be out there like we are at home. Kid would say, I wonder how far Dad could throw that lamp in the church lobby. he'd get the gold medal, because that's a long lobby. And so it really hurts children to see two people, one that's a churchy person and one that's one at home. And what a cry this is. One boy said, we don't need a den in our new home. Dad roars in every room in the one we live in now. And that is a thing. So let's look at this.
Hey, before you move off that, can you say what you said a minute ago? Because I think that's a really powerful reminder about the character being revealed and reputation being preserved.
Yeah, the way I've said it, because of me, outside the home, your reputation is established. That's your public function. Mm-hmm. But within the home, your character is revealed. And I think that's why at home it is so difficult, because rarely does that character turn into my external reputation.
Right.
Unless the kids finally turn 13 and tell the world. And you know what?
RD's 2 years off from there, 3 years off from there.
And so you have 3 years to straighten up. And
it's going to take more than that.
But I mean, in a practical sense, that's what I appreciate about Doc Olson said today, because I do believe there is a need for transparent communication.
Right.
And you know, where we do have clay feet, we need to be willing to acknowledge. But one good thing about families, they're so pliable. They're so flexible. And as soon as they see humility in Dad, they'll say, hey, you know, we understand that.
Sure.
But if Dad never says, I was wrong, will you forgive me? Then that becomes
point of bitterness.
A point of bitterness mm-hmm. that comes.
Well, I remember the first time I had to apologize to a three-year-old, I had to swallow really hard to do that. But I think in the whole time of parenting, how many times I'd need to apologize to my kid and not necessarily for what I said or did, but maybe the tone or my spirit in it that wasn't right. Because one of the thoughts that I've had is that we will produce in our children not what we teach them, but what we are. Mm-hmm. And we can tell them all we want, read all the right books to them, but they will become what we are. That's a scary thought. And I think that none of us are perfect. And if they become what I am, it should be real, genuine, transparent, and when I do fail, I make it right. Mm-hmm. You know, I go to them and I make it right. And I think that to me is, when young people can grow up in a real home, yes, it's not perfect, there are flaws in it, but they know how to respond in a right and biblical way, then that teaches them how to cope with life.
Let me ask kind of a dumb question here. When we talk about it in a studio like this, it just seems like it is so obvious. Of course, you know, they're going to become what I'm going to become. I mean, it just seems so obvious. So why is it so hard for us to keep this in mind when we're out there in the real world?
Well, I think, as he was saying, our walk, we've always said our talk will talk and our walk will talk, but our walk will talk louder than our talk will talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard for a youprofen to
say. You learn that, though.
But let me say it again. Your talk will talk and your walk will talk, but your walk will talk louder than your talk will talk. And so it's not what they're taught so much as what is caught. And they pick that up in our spirit. And what David says here, look what he says in verse 1, I will behave myself. So that covenant was personal. Mm-hmm. I will. He was not making a promise for somebody else. This was something he was promising himself. So that's where it begins. I as an individual. Then he says, I will behave. Now it gets into action. But what's the next word there?
Wisely.
In what? Perfect way. Now, what was he talking about there? Was that is, he would never sin? Obviously, later in David's life, we see when these covenants were broken,
some of them.
He genuinely knew the judgment of God about which he sang earlier. But it's in a mature way. And then he said, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart.
Mm-hmm.
There we see not only it was personal, but it was practical. Where?
In his house.
In his house. And there is no more practical place to do this than at home. Everything else is a public function.
And that's a really that's really where you're really getting to the heart of it, because if we're going to get our life in shape, I mean, if we're really going to get serious about it, whether we're a single man or whether we're a lady or whether we're a husband or father, we have to start with a real me.
Yeah, and that, again, deals with the man having to be right with God himself,
mm-hmm.
where he feeds his soul in the morning, where he mm-hmm. is a model. What do children see? If I were to ask the question to the men listening and then ask the question to the women listening, if I were to interview your child, what room of the house do they see you as your constant prayer place? Dad, where do they see you most reading the Bible? So if somebody were to stop your child on the street and say, you're from a Christian family, I understand, yes. Where is your dad's favorite place of prayer?
Wow, that is a convicting question.
Yeah, where do you see your dad most on his knees? Or where does your dad get on his knees with you? And then we begin to think, well, boy, maybe this doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen often enough. The practical aspect is, what do they see? Would this be a good opportunity to start a Works of God journal? Because practically they see God is alive. The God about whom we sing is real. When we were on the road in revival meetings, we kept a Works of God journal and prayer requests. We put them up on a board in our trailer. We lived in an Airstream trailer. Now the evangelists today are in these big land yachts pulled with four semi-trucks. And we were living what we call a silver pickle. Well, we had a little board in there, and we put prayer requests, specific things. And when they would get answered, it was like, yes, God's alive. God's on the throne. And we prayed specifically for a Ford Club wagon with captain's chairs because we were pulling our trailer with a Buick LeSabre. We had to be a little bit brain dead to do that. But, I mean, with a 350 engine pulling a 6,500-pound trailer for a year and a half before— And God miraculously answered prayer. And it was specific. It was a Ford Club wagon with captain's chairs, with full trailer package, with two gas tanks, which we discovered we needed. We didn't have to drive that long pulling the trailer. We could have had three gas tanks. But you know the thrill of it was? None of us ever forgot that. That vehicle was a gracious answer to a year and a half of praying. And the way it was set up, I don't have time to go into it, but it was so evidently God's doing. Big things, little things for, you know, the practical aspect.
This is the practical ways that we could flesh this out in our life. Matt, how did you do it as a dad?
Well, I think the great burden I had with being a dad and being a young man and really not wanting to fail. I did not want my kids to grow up and, you know, turned their back on the Lord. And I think it really put me on my knees praying for them. And I think in some ways, though, as I'd probably read every book I could get my hands on. I remember, you know, any time a book would come out, I'd read it. And I'd ask other fathers, how did you do this? How did you do that? And I'll tell you, the thing that I came to the conclusion, though, was that at the end of the day, the greatest work I'll ever do for my kids is on my knees. Mm. Aside from living the life, living a model mm-hmm. life that's real and transparent, mm-hmm. but on my knees. Because I think we can become determinist. We can become a bit pragmatic. In other words, I can read all the books, do everything right. In fact, when I was a younger man and a pastor, if I were to see a parent with a child that was going off in a different direction, I'd think, oh, they probably didn't have family devotions, or I'd find some fault. It'd be very easy for me to be critical. But I think the older I got, the more I realized that even if you do everything right as a parent, your children will still make a choice. Mm-hmm. And so what the lesson of that was to me was of God dependence. God is going to have to do the work to transform their heart and to mold them into Christ-likeness. But I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to get in the way of what God is doing by having a hypocritical life or, you know, that sort of thing. And those are the things that I think that God just working in my own life. That's why when, you know, I was really good at preaching on the family until I started having kids, and then I felt like I'm not going to say anything. And then, you know, when they become teenagers, you want to shut up for 10 years and see how they turn out.
And they kind of want you to shut up for 10 years,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's true.
Well, I think in light of that, you see, we're right in the middle of that verse. David says, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? And to me, if you were to look for a New Testament parallel, you find the fruit of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. Mm. And the filling of the Spirit immediately is followed by commands, a wife to submit, a husband to love, and a child to obey. It's immediately in the context of family living. So you talk about practical. It's in the home. Where is the Spirit filling first demonstrated? It is first demonstrated in the family, mm-hmm. in the home. And when David prays, obviously a reference here to the ark returning, which was the picture of God's presence, it really was a statement. And that's what you're saying. Get on your knees and you pray, you know, in a very powerful way. But the practical aspect is I'm demonstrating the worshipful heart that I have that causes me. And then when we don't do it, we have to have our hearts being really ready to repent. And in your notebooks, those of you who are pulling this up on the web or have the fill-in books, we put two guards in the relationship. One is please God and praise your mate.
And Doc, on that note, we're going to have to wrap up the broadcast today as we have been talking about getting our life in shape, specifically looking at covenants of a father, and that applies to all of us who God has placed in positions of leadership. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.